Amen. All right. That was a blessing. The Engelmann Quartet. I like that. That's good. They're gonna be famous. Amen. Well, they already are right here.
Amen.
Doesn't get any better than that. Amen. That's good. Thank you. Judges chapter 8. Judges 8. We continue with this morning's message. I wouldn't necessarily call this part 2, although we can. It's all right. But we talked this morning about, of course, Gideon's call to go against the Midianites, and God said, "Have not I sent thee?" And he told him what to do and made it very clear that he could win the battle. And Gideon, of course, we didn't even get into all of Gideon's battle with that in his own heart and his own mind, but he knew it was God's will. And then he goes and let me give you the outline again. Somebody had asked me for the outline, so I'll give that to you again. Number one this morning, I said he excused the cowards. This is the battle plan, and we had 32,000 on Gideon's side going against hundreds of thousands on the Midianite side. And so he's already outnumbered, but first they excused the cowards. And you remember how that God said, tell all the ones that are cowards to go home to their mommies and their wives and play in the sandbox or whatever they needed to do. And so 22,000 went home. 22,000 decided it's not worth it. We're not going to fight. And they went home. And so God said, that's fine. They're in the way anyway. So he excused the cowards. Number two, they eliminated the careless. And those that were, there were still too many men. So there were those that were careless, the ones that stuck their heads down in the water and drank the water when they were thirsty. They went home too. 9,700 out of the 10,000 that were left. They were careless. They weren't watching. And 300 men, when they came to the waters, the bank of the water, they went. They got the water in their hands, and they kept their eyes up as they lapped the water out of their hands, and they were able to keep an eye out for the enemy. And we have a lot of folks today just not paying attention that there is an enemy out there. It's kind of like, well, he's silent, and he's going to leave us alone. He's not going to leave us alone. He hates us. The only people he leaves alone are those that are doing absolutely nothing. And he does tend to leave them alone. Of course, can't you blame him? So the first thing that we saw is that they excused the cowards. Secondly, he eliminated the careless. Third, he enlisted the committed. And there was those 300. And that was all they had left. A strange battle plan. You know the battle plan. We talked about it today. A trumpet, a light, and a pitcher. And, of course, the trumpet sound, they blew the trumpet. And then broke the pitcher, and the light, all of a sudden, it was like a flash, and the light was shining from every pitcher all around the camp. And, of course, the Midianites went wild and started killing each other, and you can imagine they were fearful, and just an amazing thing, and I love the story. So, Gideon, he had to enlist the committed. And then, number four, they encouraged their companions, and again, by beating the Midianites and chasing them, those that had run, the ones that were cowards, they joined in. The ones that were careless, they joined in, and now they're excited. And again, I mentioned this morning, victory is encouraging, and it's contagious. People like to win. They like to, get on the team, the winning team. And so encourage their companions. And then the last thing, end the conflict. And that's where we kind of left off this morning, though we did end the message. I do tell you that they did have a victory in the battle, but the war was not over yet, and they were still pursuing them when we left off. The Bible says, chapter 8, verse 4, and that's our message tonight, Gideon came to Jordan and passed over. He and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. And I kind of tie this in with Vacation Bible School and really the busyness of now. You say, preacher, it seems like every other month you're saying the busy. It is busy. But we ought to be busy. Amen. And again, the words from this morning, have not I sent thee. I preached sometime the first of this year a message called You Don't Have to Faint. And this is not like that. It's not that message. Because, again, the idea here is they were faint, yet pursuing. And that is the title of the message tonight. They have the Midianites running. They are going to beat the Midianites. There's no question about that. They are going to win this battle. But they're tired. And they're weary. And they're faint. And, you know, understand that God knows that we get tired. God knows that we are faint at times. But have not I called thee? Surely I'll be with you. You know, that's what God told Gideon. And so here they go. And verse 4 says, you know, there are 300 men. By the way, not one of them was lost in the battle because the enemy fought each other. And they did God take care of them or not? Well, how am I going to fight in this battle without a sword? God says you don't need a sword. It'll be all right. Well, I don't like this. Trust God. Okay, let's learn to trust Him. Let's learn that God is God and He can do anything. And so here they go. You know, they're going after the Midianites. Midianites are running. And again, we have 300. And now the other army, the other men join them. Quite a few of them, the Bible indicates. And now they're chasing after the Midianites. Midianites still have them outnumbered. But they're running. What are you going to do? Well, I think that's good enough. It's not good enough. It's not good enough in the conflict. Amen? It's not good. Boy, we got the devil running. No, no, no. Keep going. Keep fighting. Keep going. Keep fighting. You look, it's not over till God says it's over. And that's a long ways off. Huh? My Bible says, I mean, next thing supposed to take place is a rapture. We don't know when that's going to be. That could be 1,000 years from now. It wasn't May 21st. Okay? And so it could be any time. I don't know when it's going to be. But the rapture will take place, then there's 7 years tribulation, then there's 1,000-year millennium. And eventually the devil gets tossed into the lake of fire. I mean, eventually the conflict ends. But it's not ended yet. You know, it's not time to put down, oh, you know, boy, when Vacation Bible School's over, I'm going to be able to rest. Not time to stop. Faint, yet pursuing. Father, help us to just keep going, to pursue, to fight. Lord, help us to realize the Midianites, they were taking things away from Israel. They were taking things away from your people. They were stealing their food. They were stealing their strength. They were attacking them. And Lord, that's exactly what the devil wants to do with us. And I pray that you'll help us to realize that there's a battle to be fought, a battle to be won, and it hadn't been won yet. And each battle is one battle, but there's a whole war that has to be fought. We got to keep going. Help us, Lord, for Vacation Bible School to give it all we've got. I pray you'll help during the fair ministry in July that we'll give it all we have. I pray you'll help our teens to go to these conferences and open their hearts and to listen and let you speak to their hearts. And, Lord, I pray that we'll just keep going. And many are faint, but help us to keep going, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Christian life is an attack. It is to be an attack on the devil. It's to be a relentless attack on the devil. Nowhere do I find God's people supposed to cower in the corner and hold up their shield of defense and just sort of take all the blows of the devil. No, we're supposed to be charging. Amen. We're supposed to be attacking. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. You know, the gates aren't attacking us. We're supposed to attack the gates. And it is a relentless attack that we are to do. We are to be rescuing the perishing. We are to bring glory to our God in attacking the one who is His enemy. He's His enemy. We need to attack him. No matter what the odds seem to be, we need to understand. I mean, come on. The Midianites are coming in. They're taking all the food of the Israelites. They're tormenting them. They're ready to take them captive themselves. I mean, it's time somebody stands up and says, hey, I'm tired of this, and we're going to fight. And God says, Gideon, you're the man. You're the man. And we got to keep going. Hey, what other reason is there to not be in heaven? Why don't you think about that sometime? You know, God left us here to do something. I mean, if we're not going to do anything, we might as well be in heaven. But you're not in heaven, so that ought to tell you something. Would we all be better off in heaven? Well, it sure seems like it. You know, sure seems like it. Sure seems like what a wonderful thing to be in heaven where, as the Engelmans just sang, you know, no more death, no more funerals. No more obituaries. Amen. What a blessing that'd be. But we're not in heaven, are we? No, I promise you it's not. If it is, we're disappointed. Right? You know, because this isn't heaven. This is getting closer, though, being around God's people. Amen. But I'm just saying it's not heaven, so whatever reason we're not in heaven tonight, it seems to me like it ought to be worthwhile. Our life ought to be worth something. We ought to be busy. We ought to be doing something. And that is fighting the devil. If God be for us, who could be against us? Nobody. We are more than conquerors. Here Gideon and his army, and we talked about it this morning, they're totally outnumbered, but really they weren't. Because God said, surely I'll be with you, Gideon. Surely I'll be there. Gideon was nervous about it. I mean, you got to be honest about this thing. I mean, he had to check it out a couple times. He had to go into the Midianite camp and hear some men talking about how they were afraid of, one of the guys had a dream and God showed him that they were going to be defeated. And Gideon said, hey, I like that. And he had to put his fleece out, and people say, are you allowed? Are you really supposed to do that? Well, I don't know about you, but God answered his fleece miraculously. I mean, you can call Gideon all you want to, but he did win this battle. Amen. And it's okay to find God. I want to know for sure. Please show me. Why? Because we're going to go out on a strange battle plan. By the way, Vacation Bible School is a strange battle plan. I mean, honestly, it is. It is a strange battle plan. Shepherd's ministry is a strange ministry. It really is. I mean, here's folks that, a lot of people don't really pay a whole lot of attention to. But Jesus does. He died for everybody. And he loves everybody. He loves shepherd's ministry, loves our bus ministry, loves rich people, poor people. He loves good-looking people, ugly people, smart people, dumb people. He loves everybody. Amen. And so we ought to try to have a ministry that's going to reach out to everybody. And we need to understand that sometimes it looks like we're outnumbered. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, here's the question. How did they end the conflict? And that was this morning's last point. And I just want to show you four things about how they ended the conflict. And the first thing, of course, is they were faithful. And again, we went from 32,000 to 22,000 to 97, and then 9,700 left. And so we had 300 left. And they were faithful, faithful men. God's army. God needs faithful people. He really does. And again, Vacation Bible School's coming. Please be here. If you signed up, be here. Okay? Be here. You say, well, I'm not important. Everything's important. Every job is important. Every cookie is important. Every glass of Kool-Aid is important. Every nursery worker is important. Every diaper changed is important. There is nothing that is not important in God's work. I'm telling you, it's all important. If you signed up and you said you'd be here, be here. That's what Gideon needed. He needed 300 people that would be faithful. They would be there. They would be willing. And God doesn't need a whole bunch of folks. God just, by the way, who gets a blessing out of it? Could God have destroyed the Midianites without Gideon? Sure he could. Could he have destroyed the Midianites without the 300? Oh, of course he could. Well, who got the blessing? How about the 300? Who's going to get the blessing? How about us? Could God run Vacation Bible School without us? Of course he could. Could he run the fair ministry without us? Yes. He'd still have Kathy. But could he? I mean, can't he do these things without you and I? Couldn't he write a message across the sky? Couldn't he do anything across the sky, get every child's attention in all of Adrian? Could he do that? Of course he could. But who gets the blessing? Well, if we do it, we do. Right? Yeah. Couldn't he put the gospel across the sky? We wouldn't need to have a fair tent. He just writes the gospel across the sky in the clouds and says, hear ye, all listen. He could. But what's he do? He lets Kathy Morin be in a fair tent and chase people down, put them in headlocks and get them saved. But wait a minute, why does he do that? It's not for him. I mean, he does get the glory, but he lets us be a part. Isn't that something? Does he need 300 men? He doesn't need one. But he let 300. He let 300 get a great victory here. But they were faithful. And God's looking for faithful people. These 300 didn't know excuses. They didn't know, that you missed church because of a hangnail. They didn't know that if you have a toothache, you skip out on your commitments. They didn't know that if it rains that, we can't fight, it's raining. I mean, they didn't know anything about that. Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? And they had to be faithful because, again, let's go back to those weapons. Okay, what are we going to fight the Midianites with? There's 300 of us, and you know, we're not cowards, and we're not careless, but we're going to fight 300. What are we going to use? Well, you get a trumpet. Well, you'd have to be faithful to say, okay, give me my trumpet then. Right? Wouldn't you? I think so. Now, I'm not wanting to argue, but is that all we get? Well, no. Actually, you also get a light. Oh, boy. You know? Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, is that everything? No. You got to put your light in a pitcher. Okay. Faithful people, though, honestly, they don't care. They just don't care. Amen. It just doesn't matter. Faithful don't try to be faithful. They just are. And these 300, they don't question things. You know, they're not quite, you don't find in here them saying, Gideon, this is the craziest battle plan I've ever heard in my life. They're just faithful. Hey, just tell us what to do. We'll do it. That's what's a blessing. You know, what has been a blessing over the years for me as a pastor is faithful people. You know, there's no hidden meanings behind anything. There's no little subtle little things and innuendos and trying to figure out what's going on. It's just, hey, what can we do? How can we help? You know, what way can we be used? Faithful people. Thank God for faithful people. That's how the New Testament church, that's how it grew. That's how, read the book of Acts, it was faithful people. Faithful apostles, faithful preachers, faithful people. Amen. And it always will be faithful people. Faithful people don't try to be faithful, they just are faithful. And it is because that's their character. It's because of a walk with God. It's because of a trust in God. God, I believe you and I trust you, and I'm just going to do what you told me to do. That's faithful, full of faith people. Amen. They were faithful, number one. Number two, they became faint. And you know, faithful people do become faint. Do not for 1 minute think that you are wicked because you're tired. Do not for 1 minute think that I think that you're a sinner because you're wore out. That is the farthest thing from the truth. These became faint. Verse 4, I've heard people say, you know, what's their problem? I mean, what's their... I'll tell you what their problem is. They're faint, yet pursuing. You know, Gideon came to Jordan. He passed over. He and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing. They've been working hard. They'd put in a lot of hours, and they're faint, yet pursuing. They get hungry, and we'll talk about this in a minute, verse 5 through 7. And they're hungry, and they need bread, and they need help, and nobody wants to help them. But you know what they do? They keep pursuing, but they're faint. You know, they had a great victory. The enemy was retreating, but they needed to finish the job. Boy, it's so important to finish the job. I'm just too tired. No. Keep going. You just keep going. Faint, yet pursuing. Look at 1 John 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You say, I'm just getting tired of the world and what the world is doing and how wicked the world is becoming, and I'm just tired. Yeah, keep pursuing. Keep telling them about Jesus. Keep standing. Keep doing right yourself. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being tired. There's a lot wrong with quitting. Amen. Well, a lot of folks get faint. I mean, these pews would be full if it wasn't for folks that fainted. I'm serious. In fact, there wouldn't be room in this auditorium. Just I'm talking about in Adrian, Michigan, over the years, many have fainted. Many sat where you sit right now, but they fainted. You just say, look, I'm exhausted. I've been in the battle, and I'm tired. But I like Gideon, you know, faint yet pursuing. Faint yet pursuing. It is normal to be tired. It is not normal to be lazy. Amen. It is absolutely normal to be faint. But you don't have to faint. And I wrote down three things under this. The fact that they became faint. And first of all, they did something to make them tired. Hey, come on, don't get on the folks that are faint. Don't get after the people that are tired. Don't get, look down your pious, your long pious nose so you're exhausted. Huh? Hey, somebody that's about to faint, they did something. These guys did something. These guys were busy. These guys were fighting the Midianites. They're chasing the Midianites. They're faint, yet pursuing. Let's do something that makes us tired. How sad it is when folks faint after having done nothing. Boy, there's a lot of fainters like that. Now, my heart goes out to someone who's done a lot over the years, and then they faint. I feel bad about that. And it's hard, and that temptation is always there. But thank God they did something. I'll tell you what's frustrating is those that sit on the sideline, and because of the heat of the day or maybe the excitement of the race, I'm just exhausted, and they faint. And they've done absolutely nothing. How sad to faint having done nothing. Do something. Let's be busy. Let's be busy and do something that makes us tired. This, to me, is a blessing in verse 4. They're faint. Why are you so faint, Gideon? Because we've been working hard. That's why. Because we blew our trumpet. That's why. Because we broke our pitcher. That's why. Well, that doesn't sound like a lot of work. It's exactly what God told us to do. And you know what? We've been chasing these guys, and we've been after them, and we're just tired. We need to eat. We're hungry. Amen. Amen. And, God made us to be hungry. Amen. God made us to be tired, too. Did you know that? And if you do something, first of all, when you're busy, you get hungry. Second of all, when you're busy, you get tired. And what a testimony. Hey, we're tired. Glory to God. You know, there's nothing like the end of Vacation Bible School week. When, you thought I was going to end there. I wasn't going to end there. I'd like to end there, but I won't because faint yet pursuing. But there's something about, folks, they're walking around like they're in a daze sometimes. I like that. That's good. Amen. I mean, seriously, you see some teachers, they're dealing with, 25, 30 kids, and then they have the workers, so add 10 more kids. But it's never like that. But they're exhausted. You know what I mean? It's like, oh. I mean, I'm coming up to 2 weeks here of honestly, 2 weeks from tonight. Now, I've already got this planned, and I live this way. I've planned things, and I didn't write it on my calendar because I don't want anybody to see it, even though I'm telling you. But I already know this. 2 weeks from about an hour from now, okay? I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna sit down. And I'm gonna go, and it's gonna be good. It really is. Two vacation Bible schools, a wedding, and everything that's just happened. What a blessing! It's gonna be exciting. But I know this. I'll be tired. I'll be faint. You say, what are you gonna do? I've actually thought about taking that Monday off. Of course, I always take every Monday off, but usually I take it off and come and work. But the point is, do something. Let's do something. Let's be busy. I heard somebody say, we've always got these sign-up sheets. Glory to God. You know where people aren't busy? Funerals. That guy in the casket. They don't have any plans for tomorrow. They don't have, you'll never see sign-up sheets at a funeral. Hello? Yeah. Their name's not going to be on it. If it is, we got problems. Folks, seriously, do something. It's okay to be tired. It's all right. Faint, faint, faint. But pursuing. I like this too. And the second thing I have under this is they didn't faint. They're just faint. Amen. It doesn't say, and there they fainted. No. Faint yet pursuing. They're still going. They're still going. And what a blessing that is. They didn't faint. They're just faint. That means that they're still going. Still going. Man. Oh, I'm exhausted. Oh, if I could just have some food. Oh, amen. I just don't know if I can make it anymore. Come on, let's go. Get going, get going, get going. Gideon might have been behind him with his trumpet. Tell him, get moving. And charge. And they did something to make them tired, but they didn't faint. They were just faint. Nothing wrong with being faint. Nothing wrong with being tired. Nothing at all wrong with those things. I told somebody the other day, they said, I tried to call you. It was around 10 o'clock. I said, I was in bed asleep. Amen. Why do you go to bed so early? Only one reason, really. I'm tired. I don't know why you go to bed when you do, but I usually go to bed because I'm tired. And, they did something to make them tired. They didn't faint. They were faint. And then the third thing I wrote down here is they had the character to pursue though they were faint. Now, that's character, see. See, it's one thing, to join in the battle and, well, I feel rested and I feel good and I'm ready to fight and everything. Let's get them. You know, that's one thing, and that's okay. But character is when you're wore out and you keep going. Character is after 30 hours at the fair and many other hours driving back and forth to Toledo to see your husband in the nursing home, and you keep going. That's character, see. That's just something different. Tired? Oh, better believe it. Wore out? Oh, yeah, totally. Exhausted. But you just keep going. And you know, I think that pleases Him. I really do. I think that pleases our Lord. When we just, you're exhausted. It's not much to get out of bed and jump out of bed and go charge hell with a squirt gun. That's okay. Charge hell with a squirt gun after you put in 15 hours a day and you're wore out. Now charge hell with a squirt gun.
Amen.
That's character. Look at Jesus, Luke 9, verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Steadfastly set. Why is that? Because he knew he'd be faint. He knew he would thirst. Yeah. But he steadfastly said, here's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish. Aren't you glad Jesus said it is finished when he hung on that cross? Aren't you glad that he didn't say, I just can't take it anymore? Aren't you glad he didn't say, I'm faint and I can't go on? No. He steadfastly, that's what we need to do now, okay? We need to set our face toward righteousness, doing right, finishing the job. We know what's right. Let's do it. Amen. We know what's right. We know we need to win souls. We know we need to bring them in. We know we need to run the buses. We know exactly what needs to happen. Let's set our face, and though we're faint, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's pursue. Job 23, verse 11. Job 23, 11. Of course, you know the story of Job. The Bible says, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. There's somebody that said, you know, I know what's right. I know what I believe. I know what's the truth, and I'm not going to go away from it. I remember we started our church in Burn, Indiana, and there was a street in that little town. It was called Compromise Street, and for years I would not drive on that street because I hated that word compromise. You know, I'm watching Christians compromise left and right. It's more and more and more and more and more. It's unbelievable. I remember out of Bible college thinking, wow, I can't believe they're doing that. I can't believe they're doing that. I remember some people I went to college with and watched them compromise and couldn't believe it. And more and more, I'm watching people just, you know, well, I guess after all these years, I was just wrong. No, you weren't wrong. You're just tired. But you need to pursue. You need to keep going. You need to keep going, folks. That's what we need to do. Peter and John, Acts chapter 4, verse 19. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. But And Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And of course, the great persecution, and you know, we're gonna just keep going. Faint, yet pursuing. Paul, of course, he was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, all those things, but he just kept going. John, on the Isle of Patmos, you know, he just kept going. God's going to take, God said, surely, get in, surely, I'll be with you. I don't think he meant just when they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. I think he meant, I'm going to keep being with you. Get in, surely, I'll be with you. I can't hardly take another step. Get in, I'll be with you. You can, just take the step. I'll make sure it goes the right direction. Amen. God's in control. Time to celebrate later on. Finish, 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 finish. Now here's the wimps. Verse 5. It says, He said unto the men of Succoth, Give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. And I am pursuing after Zeban and Zalmunna, kings of the Midian. The princess of Succoth said, Are the hands of Zeban and Zalmunna now in thine hand that we should give bread unto thine army? In other words, do you have them captured? Have you conquered them? Because if we give bread to you and they're still alive, they may come and hurt us. Sissies. Wimps. Huh? I mean, honestly, you know, they said, we're not gonna give you anything till we know you've won the battle. And we're going to support whoever wins the battle. You know, that is a turkey buzzard that really, you know, they need exactly what Gideon gave them. Unbelievable. It's like that. There's folks sitting around here just waiting for the smoke to clear. Really? Well, I wonder which side I'm on. Why don't you get some good old-fashioned conviction in your heart, in your life, and decide based on what God says, and just stand. Amen. And you know, if it costs you, who cares? Do what God says to do. And you know, these they're just kind of waiting to see what happens here. Gideon said, Therefore, when the Lord had delivered Zeba and Zalmunna, by the way, he knows. He's sure. Amen. When the Lord had delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Amen. I like stuff like that. I really do. And he went up thence to Penuel, and he spake unto them likewise. See, he's tired. He said, I'm tired. Could somebody get me a T-bone steak? Amen. Could somebody get me a pork chop? Well, probably not pork. But could somebody get me some fried chicken? You know, just whatever. And revival, yeah, it's first time. We talked about Jesus and everything. Anyway, and so he went up thence to Penuel and spake unto them, and the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. Same thing. Well, we're waiting to see what happens. Now, I don't know if anything fries my gizzard any more than that kind of mentality right there. Well, we're just waiting to see what happens. You know, take an Oreo cookie. Oh, I would love to. And dip that thing in the milk and let it sit there for about 2 minutes. And pretty soon it'll break off and it'll drop down to the bottom. That's your backbone. A milk sop. Limp wrist. Wimpy. Weenie type. Sissy. Who just cannot take a stand for what's right. I mean, honestly, here's two groups right here. They just don't have the guts to take care of somebody who's willing to fight the battle. They didn't know whose side they were on. And, you know, that's what so much of Christianity is becoming today. Shallow, carnal, wait and see, because we just don't really know. By the way, when you do know, you'll die for what you know. That's what we should be willing to do. They were faithful. They became faint. Then the third thing, they were fruitful. Because why? Because they kept going. They kept going. They became fruitful. Verse 11, Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbedah and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. And of course, they are assassinated. And the goal is reached, and the Midianites lose. And they had won a battle earlier, but now they won the war. Amen. Full victory. Kind of like Joseph. He went from the pit to a prisoner to the prime minister. Amen. And what a blessing. He could have fainted in jail. He could have fainted in the pit. He could have fainted with Potiphar's wife. Yeah, what did he do? He kept going, and God blessed him. Joshua saw the walls of Jericho, and they were scary. They were scary. You got to admit. I mean, you're looking at the walls of Jericho, and it is an impressive, impressive sight. But later on, he saw the walls flat. Amen? Daniel saw the lions, and their slobber, and their drooling, and their hunger, and everything else. And, I mean, honestly, it didn't look good for Daniel, but later on, he was second in charge. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw the fiery furnace. God delivered them. You know? You have to understand. You know, a missionary, he sees all the problems in front of him, but he also later on sees a harvest of souls. And God bless him. You know, great missionaries, that means they didn't always have great times. Read about it. You know, oh, you know, if I could just do that. Yeah, but if you don't want to do this. You know, if I could just have this, or I could have that, or I could be this, or I could be that. But understand, that ended up because somebody paid a huge price. A great work, a great church, a great ministry, a great class, a great bus route, whatever it might be. Somebody was paying a price in there. Just because it's great doesn't mean it's always great time. You know, a pastor pastoring a church nobody sees the headaches and the problems and the heartaches and the difficulties and the battles that have to be fought. Nobody sees the faint yet pursuing that goes on. But it does. If anything's going to happen for God, there's going to be people tired, and they're going to have to get up and go and keep going. They have to. It's not possible. A parent with a child. If you are successful as a parent, you've fainted many times or been faint, but you had to keep going. You've thought of quitting many times, but you kept going. You had to. A student in school, same thing. If you're going to succeed, you're going to graduate, high school, college, whatever. I mean, there were times you were faint, but you have to keep going. You're not going to achieve anything without getting tired. It's just not possible. Every vacation Bible school we've had, I've wrestled just like I did this past week. And you say, you're preaching a message to yourself? Yes, you're welcome to join in on it. I'm just saying, every year, it's always the same. Why do I do this? Why am I? There's other people who can be involved and do this kind of stuff. And there's other ways to do it and all that kind of stuff. And yet, I'm always so glad we did what we did. Always. And you know what? You have to testify. You've done the same thing. You question, why do I go into all this trouble? You know, I think of the Koreas and all these open houses, you know, that where you're wanting to honor your graduate, and you're so excited, and you look at the task ahead of you. Oh, this is so big. But you know, when it's all over with, you say, I'm glad we did that. I'm so glad we did that. But, you know, shouldn't we give it all we have for Jesus? He gave all he had for us. I think we should. If it's worth trying for, don't quit trying. You know, we've got to keep going. We shall reap if we faint not. Your home, your job, your ministry, your life. I like what my mom always used to say. And when I was a kid, I used to think, what is she talking about? She used to say, can't, never, did, nothing. And I remember when I was a little kid, I'd never understood that. And I'm not sure I ever did understand it until I went to Bible college and I started hearing people preach about I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And all of a sudden, my mom's words came back, can't, never did nothing. That's so true. So true. Well, I can't do this. I can't do. And you know what? You'll never do anything. But I'm tired. I'm faint. I've done a lot. I've been busy. We just finished school. We just got out of school. You know, some of you college students, it isn't that hard in college. Get busy here. Amen. You know, well, I'm just trying to rest. You don't need to. You'll rest when you're in a casket. Huh? You'll rest when you're up on a cloud playing a harp. I hope we don't do that. But you know what? You get busy. Get busy. What you think you can go to Bible college, come home and sleep? Yeah. Wrong. You can come to the altar during the invitation. That isn't how it works. It's That's not how it works. And I got news for you. You're not impressing anybody about your college. Well, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Faint, yet pursuing. Let me close with this. Here's something that Gideon became. They all became fruitful, certainly. But here's what Gideon became. Look at chapter 8, verse 22. This is so good. Chapter 8, 22. And I close with this. I told you it'd be shorter tonight. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also. For thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Gideon became focused, didn't he? Remember when he was hiding behind the wine press? Oh, thou mighty man of valor.
Who, me?
Yeah. Gideon became focused. You know, Gideon knew this. Gideon knew who won that battle. The men said, Gideon, you have conquered the enemy. You've delivered us. No. I didn't deliver you from anything. I did not deliver you from anything. God delivered you. And let me close with this thought here. That was the problem in the first place. They wouldn't let God rule them. That was the reason the Midianites were on their backs. And you know what our biggest problem is? Who will rule us? You say, I've got things under control. Then you haven't learned your lesson yet. I'll tell you who we need to rule us. We need Him to rule. And as long as He's ruling, we're going to win. We are going to win. We are going to see. Okay, we may get tired, sure. We may get weary, okay, sure. No doubt about it. We may get pulled one way or the other, you know. But bless God, we just need to pursue the goals that God put before us and just do right. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's talking. No one's looking around. How many tonight would say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart about something. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Slip it up all over. God's speaking to my heart about something. Pray for me. Is there someone here tonight who's not saved? You'd say, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. If I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I do not know if I'm a Christian. I'm not sure. Pray for me. Anyone like that? You say, pray for me. Raise your hand. Anyone? Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Father, please bless our invitation. Help us, Lord, as we begin these next couple weeks where it'll be very, very busy. I pray for your guidance, your direction. I pray that everything will get done that needs to get done. The work day in July, the fair ministry in July, Bible school coming up, the baptistry getting fixed. Lord, we need our buses and our vans, some work done, and we need your help with that, and we need finances. And Father, I pray, we do get tired, we do get faint, but you know that, God. You know what we can take. Help us to pursue. Help us to keep going for your honor and glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God's speaking to your heart tonight. If you need to come during the invitation, pray about something, you come right now. As the instruments play, I wish I'd given him more. Guarantee we'll say that.